This week on The Droids, part 4 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Another adventure for our friend Obi-Wan, and what will happen this time with Leia. We'll talk about it all and so much more on The Droids. Boop. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Chris, I am Mike, and back again, talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi, part 4.
Like yesterday. Part 4.
You know, I was thinking, I've watched this episode 3, maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Yet it still felt like a long time between episode 3 and 4, because episodes 1 and 2, then
yes.
3 yeah. was no time whatsoever.
Well, then the series was halfway over.
Yeah.
Like, oh. But now we're in the downhill.
We really are, and you know, I beg some questions. I'm curious what everyone thought of the episode. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Jedi Fallen Order playthrough. Check it out. Jedi Survivor playthrough coming up in a couple years. Make sure you follow along for that one.
Yeah. Subscribe ahead of time.
Well, we got to know how to get through those tunnels underwater.
Sure.
There's always some tunnels underwater.
Yeah.
Chris, there was not a bigger fish, though.
Ooh. No, there wasn't, but there was... Did you see it? There was a Rattar.
Was that a Rattar? Was that just like a squid creature?
It looked like a Rattar.
Stuck to like the hull, like when
the
door
opens? Looked like a Rattar to me.
Oh my god, that door was hauling Rattars.
That's how dangerous it was. Maybe not.
They just need to get a butthole monster in there, and they got it.
You know, I think they did. Yeah, I think they pretty much did.
Butthole monster bingo. Right?
I thought that Obi-Wan was going to be riding that big turtle thing.
I thought so too. For some reason,
I thought that he transformed himself. It was like turned into Harry Potter, and he was like the guy.
I was going to say, when I first saw it, I was like, is he inside of that?
That's what I thought too.
I don't know why. Like, the shot was very suggestive. I don't know why.
Well, I don't know if it was suggestive, but...
Well, like,
what are you trying to say, Ryan?
No,
Well, what is Chris trying to say?
I bet it's suggestive.
Was suggestive?
When we talk about bigger fish, we're not talking about...
I thought that he was the fish. Like, it was the way the fish was framed, it looked like, oh, he's the subject of the scene.
No, that's true. Like, it was drawing your eye. I didn't see him, and that's why I was like, is he on the fish? Is he? But he's just swimming behind it.
But I thought it was weird that he gave that fish a rebreather, and then I didn't know what would happen there. Think
family
about that.
Show. It's a family show.
You know, nice moment, though, of a Phantom Menace reference him breathing just the way he did back in Phantom Menace days.
It's true.
There's been these light touches, and
the show's really got it in the details. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I will say, I like the details, but I also think at times I want them to go deeper. Like, I want, you know, deeper, literally deeper in the ocean of where this Inquisitorious fortress was.
Sure,
went,
I mean...
He went pretty deep.
Well, is it the Fallen Order fortress, right?
Was it in the Fallen Order fortress?
The end of Fallen Order, you are in a water...
Hey, spoilers. Some of us have been trying to play game for 4.5 years.
I mean, I played it. I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Sorry.
No,
there's a very similar scene.
Go for it. Actually, I think you're absolutely right.
It would make sense. The Inquisitors are there.
Yes. There's a very similar scene. So I'm just saying that they need to get a better window person on that base.
Well, it is... Okay, so it is appropriate that we're talking about the ocean and this place. Because this episode does feel like it's treading water a little bit.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Ooh.
So, which is an issue that we're running into with these shows.
For sure.
And I still enjoyed it. And like I said, I think it really does get in the details. Mike, I agree with you. Like, I wish that they would go deeper in the details because it seems like they have time to kill anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Let's get a name of one of those Jedi.
Well, exactly. You know, that's actually what I thought. I was wondering, I was
let's get a Plo
Koon. You're going to give us just a moment to kind of be like, oh, we've seen that character
the
Clone Wars.
The one kind of
looked
like
Quinlan into it?
I would like to know just who they are. And then, just give us a little teaser of that. Like, if we're going to be treading water, layer it on. Put some frosting on it.
Yeah, let us see a Plo Koon in there. Let us see a Kid Fisto.
And maybe even, was it Quinlan? Do we know what happened to him?
Just only what they teased in the last episode.
Was there?
Yeah.
They like really concentrated on two like women in there.
Them.
Do we know them?
I don't. That's what I was going to ask you. I'm sure if any of our listeners know. Also,
they might.
That's the thing. I'm sure they were all named Jedi if they're going to be in those cases.
Or they will. There was just they will be.
Yeah.
They and will be named.
Are they frozen?
Well, that's
it looks
the
like
mystery,
it's a little
I
bit
suppose.
Of encased in amber, kind of maybe Jurassic Park
did,
reference.
Did you? I decided not to endorse their park. Did you? Did you for a second think we were going to get a little, maybe, possibly a little frozen Grogu?
I thought they were going to tie in this idea of like what they're doing with the Jedi is pulling out Midichlorians.
Like, yeah,
because they kept talking about what is it, the M blood or whatever.
Yeah.
And like that would be wrapped into this.
Yeah,
wait,
like
who said M blood?
That was in
Mandalorian.
The
Mandalorian.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Werner Herzog.
But you're right. You're right. They could have just had like a scene where somebody said like protect the M blood, you know, or something like that. Like maybe they don't know that yet.
And maybe that's not what they're doing. Yeah. I didn't know if we were supposed to think that they're doing something with them or that they were like this
just
is dark
trophy.
Like, trophies.
I think they're shrines or trophies.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But
which is dark.
I guess, like, again, we're already just into the kind of like the overall view of this episode, which is fine. It just makes me, we're talking about Treading Water, and I agree with you, Ryan. I think we all had fun with this. I'm not going to complain that this wasn't a good adventure,
right?
A good part of the week. It didn't move the story forward really in any way. But I think what I felt most at the end was, if you're going to spend an episode where nothing moves forward, can we spend an episode, an additional one with him in solitude on Tatooine thinking about things?
Interesting.
Like,
yeah.
I would have much preferred an episode of that. Now, that doesn't sell action figures, and that doesn't drive conversation on social media.
That doesn't get you the Lego set.
Yeah, it doesn't get you the Lego set. You know, one of the great Lego sets in the history of Star Wars has just been released. Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Is it the one that's just the fire pit?
Is it even the fire pit? It'd be one thing if you had Lego pieces of fire to put in it.
Maybe
instead,
there's like
a dirt pit.
There might be some more to meets the eye on that.
It's basically
one.
Just like a flat gray
it's like,
floor.
It's like, yeah, it's like the flooring pieces that they.
But I that was painful in my respect of just like Leia's story doesn't move forward. There's a little bit. Well, I think if anything, Reva gets more. Yeah. And I did like Tala's story in this.
Yes.
I like Tala. And I also just, I think that actress is great. And
she's really good.
Yeah. She was really good in that scene of playing off the spy.
It was interesting that they just basically put a New Hope remake in the middle of the series. Like, it's literally Obi-Wan going to rescue Princess Leia again.
Except this is the second time that's happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, yes, you're right. This is technically the third, right? But they did throw in all the little nods. And one thing I noticed this show does, and I don't know what it is or like what my eye catches, is like they'll have these nice wide, like very 70s, 28mm cinematic shots. And every time I notice one of those, they always cut to a shaky shot. It's like they establish the language and then they're always like, nah, that's not ours. We're going to do like our shot. I don't know why my eye keeps falling for it every time. I'm like, wow, this show is like very vast. And then all of a sudden it's like on the floor, cameras moving up and down, which I don't mind. I think it works for the show really well because it shows like the dichotomy of kind of the old versus new. But I find that very interesting as a camera choice.
I haven't caught that.
That I'm realizing.
Keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with legacy characters, right? And I've been thinking about this a lot because the Star Wars fan community is a rough place on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with legacy characters, it seems to be that unless you're like completely deifying them, that people, like a lot of people just like won't be happy about, or I shouldn't even say that. A lot of loud people won't be happy about it. Like the people who are making these like YouTube videos and writing these articles about like how this is the worst piece of Star Wars content ever. And obviously that is not the unanimous feeling about this. I think generally the vibe is that people like the show.
Yeah.
But you do get like the same people who were sobbing about how happy they were to see Luke like slice up a bunch of droids at the end of The Mandalorian are complaining about how like this show doesn't know what it's doing. And it's if that's going to be the thing, it's like in the world where the last few years Lucasfilm has seemed to be like trying to appease everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I wish knowing that there are just contingents of people who will just be loudly unhappy in perpetuity.
Right.
In like yeah, sometimes, yeah. sometimes at best in an annoying way, at worst in a hateful way. I kind of wish that Lucasfilm would kind of take bigger swings, like have two episodes of Obi-Wan just sitting in the desert meditating.
Yeah, right. That, I mean, that was what I thought the show was gonna be.
yeah, like, it is much more plotty and like what the show ended up being. I also enjoy. So
yes, exactly.
So I'm letting go of like what I thought it was gonna be and like
right.
how austere I kind of thought it might be.
I'm on for the yeah. ride. Yeah, I think. I threw out the term like, "Oh, this is their prestige show," and which, like, I think in many aspects, that thing I just mentioned about the camera shots, I think, is a good metaphor where it's like, it has at times it has that gloss, and then at times it doesn't. At times it lets up and says, "Hey, it's a TV show about Obi-Wan, so we're gonna hang out in a hallway for a while."
Well, we got a Star Wars hallway. We got a Star Wars hallway.
That's totally fine. So a real Star Wars hallway going on.
Yeah,
that expectation had no precedent. You know what I mean?
No, it did. I mean, I think it's mostly on me missing like the movies. Like,
no, same. Like, but it's like, I had this idea of what it could be. But even though, if you look at where Obi-Wan has existed, it's like this is a little actually like more prequel-y in terms of it's very propulsive and there's a lot of mm-hmm. action and things mm-hmm. like that. And I don't mind that at all. I am really enjoying the show. So, but. I think we all kind of had this idea that it would be like Obi-Wan in the desert just meditating and talking to Force Ghosts like and like the, really the kind of expressionistic and
the Logan of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Which it isn't, but it's like strange. Well, I don't know. I mean, I have been grappling this week a lot with this like vocal, this loud part of the fan base that's just like so, it's so tired at this point. You know? Well,
but Ryan, they must be satisfied in some way because he was out there swinging that badass lightsaber.
Right, he had a
detail in it that I thought was so great.
When he did the little final spin.
When he did the final spin, because it's like this is a
he's getting,
like he was
he's getting his getting his form back. For
sure. It was like a real like. Man. You know, silent. They didn't put a button on it. It was just there. It's like they're doing a great job.
They didn't do the slow motion Boba Fett. Spin
move.
Yes. Oh my god. They're just doing a great job of using his physicality to like tell mini narratives within scenes of like him getting more
getting his mojo back, baby.
Or like getting his getting his groove back.
Do you think he's like in this episode? They're not done with it, but she kind of sets him up. It's like, look, you need to figure it out for Leia if you're going to be here for her, and I know you're struggling with it.
But I thought, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say is like, I don't know that this episode did anything in story for him to get back to the ways he was. It was like, all right, well, I've got my lightsaber again and I'm going to feel a little more confident than I did against Vader. And I am going to do some of the moves that I used to do. There was almost, he spun the lightsaber around and shot a blast back at a stormtrooper, which reminded me exactly of what he did to a droid in The Phantom Menace, which was cool.
Yeah.
But it just made me sit there and think, I want this earned in story. I want him to get back to who he is and who we expect him to be because of who he is in the original trilogy, because there's something, and I don't think it's a training montage. There's something about it. And again, maybe it's with Qui-Gon where he can access that part of him again. That is not just simply because he willed it through, needing to defend her.
Well,
because he's struggling.
Ideal
he's
world,
struggling.
Things are working double duty, right? Like it's like in terms of efficiency of storytelling, you want kind of everything to be doing more than one thing.
Yeah.
So when they have the probe droid attacking them and the Star Wars hallway scene of the stormtroopers attacking them, the great physical stuff they do is that when they start firing at him, he's just blocking shots and he seems to be struggling. Then by the end of the scene, he's sending shots back.
And
he's directing things. And then he does the spin thing because it's like,
he's getting as old. Yeah.
Right. So that's
this is where the fun begins.
Yes. That's that on its own. I've got a fun feeling about this beginning. So that's like, that's a good narrative, like physicality.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying.
And narrative. But like you said, it's like you want it to also be like thematically relevant and
it was
propulsive
just
as opposed to like we're putting this in here. Like it's a silo to show this. Yeah. Then we're going to like move on to this. Then we're going to move on to this. It doesn't feel as organic as I'd hope.
But I also like at one point during that scene when the stormtroopers were like opening the door so he could fire like one shot through it. It just looked very silly. It's like, I almost got it. Okay, here we go.
There's some like action stuff that could use another pass.
It's TV action. But I did think before Obi-Wan's, before the infiltration, I thought, her character's name is slipping my mind.
Tala.
I thought she gave a great speech by just saying when he was like, I can do this, don't worry. And she's like, well, you should try. And I think she's throwing a little shade at Yoda because there is, for a Jedi to say try, like, I think it's kind of dismantling, like, do or do not, right? And so I think that's kind of might be a point of like, oh, the Jedi there was some fallacy there. Like, they weren't as good. So I think when she said that, I think that was a very weighted statement to say to Obi-Wan intentionally, to be like, you gotta do your best here, buddy. Like, Obi-Wan needs a pep talk.
But he goes from hardly being able to move, I don't know what it was, I guess the communicator, across the part of the ship to his hand, to holding back gallons upon thousands of gallons of water.
Well, I think it's motivated by what's in his heart, right? That's true. That's what I'm getting, is he needs these emotional movements.
I just wanted that emotional movement to come from storytelling and not just action. No, the emotional bowel movement of Obi-Wan.
Well, what's the difference, though?
Well, I guess because there's not enough actual dialogue between the characters. I know what you're saying. Like, a lot of time, the action should speak louder than the words, right?
But you're saying emotionally, you don't feel like that. It's literally just like mechanics of the story kind of moving.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah. So I get that.
Well, Mike, the window breaking was a metaphor where he's trying to keep the force out. And,
but this is the problem.
And
like,
it's cracking through, and he's holding it. And once he lets go, that's only when he can do. Also, I thought he was going to do something cooler with the water.
All the stormtroopers up in it.
Yeah,
I keep hoping for like the big moment, which hopefully they're like waiting for, or they won't do it, and it'll be kind of like a satisfyingly dissatisfying. We're like, we keep waiting for the badass moment and it doesn't come because it's like not that kind of thing, and that's fine.
That's totally great.
You know, it's like it keeps on seeming like it's going to be the moment where he's like, stand back, Leia, and like Nat, then he's just
we're going to
try, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But
or he's going to look at the camera and be like, hello there, and then he does something crazy.
I mean,
two on the nose.
I guess it's one of those things that it's like, we're talking about this now. If the next two episodes like kick total ass,
I think they will. I think that's the thing. We're not going to think about. I think you're right. And the way the trajectory of the show is gone, you know, episode one incredible, episode two very good, but maybe not quite the same. Three incredible.
It's just a chase. Four is another chase.
Yeah. But I'm just intrigued to think about, you know, a little bit of what could have been. We usually talk about that on this.
Sure.
But I have to give a big tip of the old loath cat to Chris, because Chris, I owe you an apology.
Oh, go on.
They have absolutely in no way tried to keep the idea of Obi-Wan not in her head. They're just saying like, oh, Ben, he's just going to know him as Ben.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, Chris, no. They've thought so much about this, Chris.
I was
going to
address
this.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was just kind of pointing out just kind of a movie continuity paradox, and I'm totally fine with it. That's fine. Like, they don't have to connect.
Breaking the canon.
We're making it all up. That's great. But then I saw some reads on this, which I really enjoyed, and I think it was cool, and it did the same thing. I think there's lines in A New Hope that the prequels enhanced, too, in the same way, and I think it's cool. So in the read that I read a lot was that when Leia reaches out to Obi-Wan Kenobi, she's not letting on that she's a resistance leader. She's saying, you helped my father. Like, she's trying to play it cool.
In case,
so obviously
that's a good call.
Which I think is pretty neat. Like, now that when you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, she's super smart. She knows exactly what Obi-Wan can do. And, like, so obviously something good must happen in the next few episodes.
I was thinking the end of the series will be when he has to part from Leia. And he just says to her, if anyone asks, just tell him I served your father in the Clone Wars. That's all you just, like, exactly. You're just going to see that specific
thing. Yeah, exactly. And then she's going to go, what?
I think they'll do a flash forward and they'll do like a CGI'd Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Cool.
Doing something with the...
That'd be cool.
I mean, how many times can they bring
her? Wow. What if she's talking to Obi-Wan or something?
I think they'll kind of like, not retcon, I don't know, they'll do one of those like lead-in things, the way they did with like Rogue One, where it was like, this literally goes straight into the beginning of A New Hope. I think they'll probably just do a jump, it won't organically go there.
Yeah.
Oh, what if it's like Obi-Wan looking at Luke before Aunt Beru calls him?
Oh, I thought, I've also thought that like maybe the old Obi-Wan is, I know you've talked about the idea of him being a force projection, but a force projection of the young Obi-Wan.
Oh, interesting.
Like where it's like people are always like, how does he get? I don't think that's what they're going to do, but they were like, how does he get so old? Blah, blah, blah.
And then he's force projecting an older version of himself.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I've thought of these things for fun.
I like that.
But, you know, people are upset. We'll see what happens with the Leia message thing. In terms of if they explain that or if they just kind of yada yada it, I'd be surprised if they don't do something to make it make a little more sense.
Yeah.
Because that's like a big thing to overlook. And they're like,
But
they're kind of, they're supposed to be the keepers of the holocron. So they're,
I don't know if you guys, like, people on the, I don't want to talk too much about people on the internet, but, you know, we have a podcast. We gotta talk about
people
something.
On the internet.
People are so obsessed with, like, maybe this is just a silly of me. People are so obsessed with, like, the literal logic of everything.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Like, why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't they do this? And I'm like, that's not a thing I'm usually thinking about unless it really breaks the emotional stakes for me. It's not like a thing. Like, yeah, I could think like, you know, Obi-Wan is sneaking around the base like in literal Jedi robes. But then I'm like, all right, as soon as that moment's over where I'm like, I'm just like, OK, he's in Jedi robes. So like moving on.
Yeah. It's fine. But, and if you want to justify it, stormtroopers, terrible shots, so they probably can't see that well in those uniforms.
I think it's very strange to me, like, the things that people get, completely caught up on to convince other people that, like, things are bad.
You can't suspend your
disbelief
certain things, but not other things.
The chase stuff for Leia in the first episode is a little silly. Of course I noticed that. In this one, Tala. Like, literally punches, like, a stormtrooper in the helmet, and he, like, falls down. But then she shoots him, you know? Yeah. And it's like, okay, like, she distracted him, whatever.
And I've never seen any of the characters use the bathroom, so I guess that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's just, I guess it's just, like, not how I watch things. Like, I'm just kind of, like, going into the emotional stakes of it.
And I think that one, I mean, imagine getting pushed in your nose. It probably doesn't feel very good.
And it's like a lot of people were complaining last episode about how Leia runs down the corridor and it's like, how is Reva at the other end? And it's like, I don't know. She figured out where it was going and like Jedi, she went there.
It's pretty easy for the assumption to be where she's trying to go to get to the port. It's faster for me to go around this way to get to the other part of the port.
Yeah, like I don't. The discourse is odd in a way that it's like, we see this with The Last Jedi all the time. People are looking for this magic bullet, like, if they think something's bad, that they're like, if I show you this objective thing, it will show you that it is undeniably bad or something like that, which is silly. I don't know. I've been really wrapped up in, like, the idea of the discourse because I just think, I think I've, like, kind of hit my limit with it.
Right.
And I know that we're part of a discourse because we're a podcast, but it's like, I don't know. I saw a few YouTube videos that people were talking about online that I was just like, I can't believe that this is the thing now.
Right.
You know, if the Obi-Wan Kenobi show isn't what you want it to be, like, these things happen.
It's okay.
I don't think it's what I want it to be, but I'm still enjoying it, and I'm not going to spend all of our time on the podcast railing against it because it's not this deep character study that I want.
Yeah, it's I would have preferred that, but also, like, we said this last week. I didn't have an Obi-Wan show 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, like, it's fun.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I love talking about it. I love Star Wars. It's fun to talk about what's working, what's not working, what it could have been, what it is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing. This stuff is important to me. Like, it's, like, important to all of us.
Right.
Like, we really care about this shit. It's really odd, like, what happens every time an episode of Star Wars comes out that, like, isn't just, like, literally like, well, like hero worship. I think of it's just legacy, like, yeah, characters.
It's also, I think, I mean, Ryan, when the lead up to the prequel or the sequel trilogy, we would talk like the anxiety level of,
yeah,
of like, I hope I make it living to see the, you know, like, yeah, like, yeah, like, it's in your head. So I think once, now that we have this kind of like Star Wars schedule where it like comes out to us like every week or whatever, like, mm-hmm, I think there's just like this, a lot of just energy that people have and they don't quite know what to do with it yet. And it's like, watch the episode, sit on it, watch it again. Guess what? There's going to be a new one next week. Like, we don't have to waste any energy on
and, like,
this.
Really, guess what? Based on the pace of this thing, this is, yeah, not going to be the only season of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No. There's going to be, like, probably four of these, or 10 of the other. Like, it's never going to stop. So, like, you can't...
I don't know. I don't think... I will say them, yeah, calling this and talking about this differently. You know, they've talked about it being a limited series. They talked, yeah, about it being... If they do another... They could see them doing another one. I don't think they're going to do, like, season two is next year.
Right, like, you'll, no, find out, I don't, what think happens. So either, but I think it would be a different angle, probably, too. Or, like, in the pathway universe kind of thing, you know? I could see something like that, where it's, like, Obi-Wan helping set up the Resistance or something. In that,
well, I know it's this. It was the most watched premiere ever on Disney Plus. And, wow, Disney doesn't
let things,
like,
go,
leave money on the table.
Right. Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So,
which is why, but I like the idea of 20 years from now, it's like, well, you know what? We got to go back and actually show you every hour of his time on Tatooine. Yeah,
exactly.
You're going to get 82 episodes.
They're run down
and he's
going to
show every bit of sand that he was.
You think they just, like, have a JPEG that's like sand.jpg and they just drag it into the volume?
Oh my God. I have to say, the volume's a problem.
You know what? It is, but there are times where I am just in awe of how they've made some of this work, yeah, and then there are other times where I'm like,
yeah,
this spatially is a disaster.
I think when they fill up the horizon with stuff, it works really well, like when, yeah, you, but once you see the horizon with the volume, you can tell right away it's because, yeah, it's like somehow it has to be flat and then you see like beyond. But, like, mm-hmm, when they put, like, those cool black boxes with the circles in the middle all over the place and, like, kind of keep people in, then I think it works.
There's, yeah, a lot of, like, just because you can doesn't mean, yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It looks the best when they make it look like green screen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
like, we could put anything in here.
They should honestly have used, like, prequel trilogy tactics here and just shot it all on green screen.
From an aesthetic standpoint, it would have been really interesting. Honestly, I think, yeah, it would have been interesting if they were like, yeah, listen, we have matched the technology now.
Yeah. We could do it.
We can just
do it.
It
won't look like Sky Captain in the World Tomorrow, but it'll look
like... And, like,
like...
I understand that the volume may be, like, the logical next step of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, I don't care. But, it's just...
But give us a nostalgic sheen. Yeah.
Yeah, the volume has a very specific look. It's yeah, somewhat exciting, much like the prequels, to be witnessing,
yes,
technology that isn't quite there yet, though the people,
right,
using it seem to think that it is.
Also, I do think that the technology, or like the CGI, much like Jurassic Park of 93, I think there was like a care taken in that CGI. I'm not dismissing anyone else's work. I think it's just like, there's a level of, we need to make this work, so we're going to give it everything, like every literal dollar we have to make it work, that I think is lost on some movies. So, mm-hmm, I think to try to like match that quality, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, and I honestly think, and I do genuinely think, industry-wise, it's exciting to see technology that's not quite there yet, because we've been so used to just CGI getting better, yeah, and better.
Exactly.
So it's like, the volume will only get better and better to the point that like green screen, we won't notice it. You know, people are obsessed with this idea that they're really good at spotting CGI. And it's like, I promise you, you're not.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You're good at spotting, like, bad CGI. The CGI that you don't notice, you would never even know it's there.
You're like my friend Chris, can't even tell if a character is real or not.
Yeah. Chris famously, I will bring this up whenever I can. Chris famously thought the children of Thanos in Infinity War, who were like 9 feet tall and looked like magic cards.
They were costumes.
He thought that they were people in costumes.
I was like, wow, they did a good job.
He also, again, before, this was before COVID, yeah, it was an okay
may have
thing.
Hit my, he, may have hit my head.
He had a high fever.
Yes, yes, that is true. That is true.
You didn't know
that's
yet,
right.
But you were.
That's
you
right.
Were
that's right.
Rocking a pretty high fever.
I was a little delirious. I remember that. It was pre-COVID. But, it was okay.
But
it was, this was way back when.
You know, it's like I'm sure there are shots of the volume. I don't even know where the volume. Right, but
yeah.
So I'm not saying this.
Well, that's
like,
but that's my point. Is that like I actually think that there are some things right now. The difference between Mandalorian season one and Obi-Wan and the way the volume, like the volume in episode 5 of season 1 of the Mandalorian with Bobby Cannavale's son, where they're out in the desert
yeah.
and
the
it just
night
looks
shots, yeah.
terrible, like absolutely abysmal. There's Obi-Wan in the desert. Unburying the lightsabers.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that was practical. I would have thought that they were actually in a desert. It looked that good. Yeah. And then I also really like the platform of the Inquisitor Tower or what?
Yeah.
Inquisitorious base. That looked incredible. They
looked great.
Like, it looked seamless to me that they had somehow built this gigantic platform that was like, out with this
that
whole thing.
That shot with the
really
stormtroopers
cool.
marching in. You saw the reflections on the shiny floor. It looked great.
Yeah.
I also like Obi-Wan, you really think. You gotta pull it off the old two person in one jacket trick.
The Muppet Man. I thought the Muppet Man was so.
I like
funny.
That he's got the big beard too. They gave it their college. They gave it their college try.
At first, I was like, "That's silly," because obviously he was doing Muppet Man. He was wearing a trench coat over his robes.
Yeah,
but like then they get caught like immediately.
Yeah,
well, so it's like,
because they're like walking in
terrible.
Front of everyone.
You could have at least had her like on his back and make him look like he had a hunch.
And then
you know, she's just underneath it.
Yeah, but it was like, it was one of those things where they were like, listen, we're trying to get out of this.
Yeah.
Like, again, that's the thing that I was like, people are going to pick this apart.
I
it
know,
didn't work.
It's fine. Yeah.
It, you know, like it doesn't, it didn't work in the world.
Right.
Like, so, okay. Like, fine. It was
yeah, exactly.
bad. It didn't work.
Exactly. It was a bad move. go ahead.
I do want to talk about that scene. There's a lot with Reva that I like in the entire series, and I really like what she does. The interrogation with Leia was good.
Yeah, I think
brutal.
She's like really crushing.
That's so hard to do with a child actor. I wonder how they film that in stage.
And Chris famously has done this with a lot of child actors.
Like, yo, tell me where Obi-Wan is. And like, who are you?
But I think, and then also Leia Vivian, I think is Vivian her first name? She, when she was like, you know, in tears at the beginning, to tears.
Yeah, she's great.
She was great.
She's
really
doing real
good.
Yes.
It's really fun to watch her act. And I'm like, this is very impressive.
Yeah, that stuff that I'm glad they also jumped into more. Because I thought I was, I feel like the last episodes I keep saying I'm fearful.
Fear leads to the dark side.
But I was hopeful they wouldn't just cast her aside as almost like a just kind of a prop in the show after her like episode. You know,
you're right.
Like,
I thought that was going to be the case. Yeah,
and I'm very glad that she's actually involved in propelling things along because I think she's great.
I am worried about it's just so weird to have Obi-Wan spending not time on his post watching Luke. It's like,
yes. Yeah.
I
what's
know,
going on? Well, I think
I know
Luke,
it's not that long.
I think Luke's a bit of a dud on Tatooine.
He's totally fine. Like Obi-Wan's.
I mean,
like,
when
you know
we
what,
see
I guess...
him, he's just flying that plane around. He's like, how old is he in A New Hope? He's still messing with that plane.
How many times am I going to watch him bullseye womp rats in 2016?
Exactly.
I love that they established that no matter how old or young she is, Leia's no snitch.
Right. Exactly.
I want to say that they introduced O'Shea Jackson and Maya Erskine in this episode,
yes.
and I thought they were both great.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. You know, that was kind of the Rogue One moment.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a little more to do than her, but I think they were both great. He was crushing it.
Yes.
Well, I thought that they were great. I also thought that was where I also wanted a little bit more. As much as this already is, we're talking about it being a treading water filler episode. I felt no emotion for Maya Erskine when her friend died because I knew nothing
Wade?
About him.
You mean
I knew nothing about Wade. I knew had
well,
no connection
Wade?
To what their relationship was. None
where's
of that mattered.
Wade? Well, I'm saying
felt,
who's it, Wade?
It felt to me like the beginning of The Last Jedi, though, when
like Paige and
yeah.
You know
like,
what though? That had more to it. That had
well,
way
I know.
More to
well,
it.
It had a little more budget. But
well,
I
no,
think
no, no,
well, Paige also had like a. Her own narrative.
It was
a very small, like quick one, but it had its own narrative within.
Sure,
Which it imbued enough emotion to me in the connection.
Sure. Yeah.
But that look she gave though when she came back on the ship though, I feel like that to me said a lot. I felt it.
Yeah.
It worked for me. I think
it worked on a genre level.
Yeah. Well, it was also it's like the rebels. There's a cool thing that like old World War II movies do, like Army of Darkness and things like that, where it's like you see a rebel army being formed. To be this one takes place in World War II, but you see like a rebel army being formed, and then you see those moments where it's like, oh, you've joined the resistance, now you have to act and you actually have to do something, and like then it gets to a new real level. And I think we're starting to see that in the like the Star Wars world now. Like it's like they actually have to make some real sacrifices to save people, and I think like we're gonna start to see characters have to do that, which I find fascinating.
I believe you're talking about Army of Shadows.
Army of Shadows.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I said Army
not
of Darkness.
Sam Raimi's.
Raimi's. Yes, Army of Shadows. You're absolutely correct.
Army of Shadows, the French film.
Yes.
I make the comparison of Last Jedi. Paige, we knew why it mattered so much to her. We knew we knew she was fighting for the Resistance. She knew she was trying to save everyone in the Resistance and actually take out the Dreadnought. And there was a clear motivation for that.
I mean, I thought, because of that. I had that because of having Paige's knowledge. I had that feeling going into this scene of
well, like, this was less about the loss of Wade than how the people felt about the loss of Wade. Where in the beginning of The Last Jedi, it was about the loss of Paige.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's fine. If I want to see how people feel about Wade, let me know who Wade is.
Sure. Ideally, we would feel. I don't even think we had seen Wade.
No,
he was there in the briefing at the beginning.
Oh well, then there you go. You paid attention to him.
Yeah, you noticed him.
It's all in Wade.
Wait a second. I didn't even see Wade at the beginning.
I don't know how much we're supposed to care about Wade. Honestly.
Yeah, anyhow.
No, I'm just like, if I'm going to care for her character and care what she's going through, I'd like to see a little bit more. Even you could have had, again, a snippet of a moment of some dialogue where the two of them are like, hey, Wade, don't get nervous out there. Your first time in a plane. I don't know, something.
Mike,
to give me a little bit of something.
Do you think that Reva and Darth Vader are the good guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the Wade comic book.
I want to go back.
Adventures with Claude.
I want to go back to Reva. Because I didn't get to the main thing I was trying to set up when I was talking about Reva, because we are jumping around.
Well, you're the one who got all obsessed with Wade.
You know, if I can change my name to
Wade so much, he sacrificed himself for Leia.
You know, what's his helmet? Can I get that helmet? And I want to make
real,
that one.
Real Force Unleashed move, throwing a box of something at the ship.
We had never seen Wayne fly before, and I'm starting to think he's a bit of a Gary Sue.
Like Luke.
Like I was saying before, Reva, I've enjoyed the story. I am completely in on her as a villain. I love Moses Ingram as an actress in this. Like, it is, she's giving me a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of connection to what all characters are feeling towards her, and a lot of curiosity about what her end story will be, because she's still doing everything she can to please Vader. She put the tracker on them and somehow got it into Lola. They didn't show us how she did that, but she did it. She just picked it up. How do you put a tracker on it that quickly when you're picking it up?
She used the Force.
Okay, cool.
You're supposed to say that's not how it works.
That's not how the Force works. I was really confused that she was yelling traitor when this was the first time she'd actually seen Obi-Wan. As in, we've spent 3 episodes with her clamoring, yelling for Obi-Wan. And she didn't see him when Vader confronted him. She didn't, because she was going after Leia. She didn't see him in episode 2, because he was actually, she knew he was there. She felt him. She was talking to him. But she had not had like an actual confrontation, and she has been building to seeing Obi-Wan, and there he is in the flesh for the first time. And I guess I've wanted to figure out whether or not she has a grudge against him for the failure of the Jedi for saving the Padawans.
When does she yell traitor at him?
She doesn't yell. She yells traitor at Tala.
Right,
when
they're
coming out on the platform. And so both Obi-Wan and Tala are there. And her reaction and her dialogue, because she says traitor, and she's like, you made this choice of an old man and a little girl over, the Empire, and this is who you are. And she's like, oh, this is who I've always been. And I just thought, I'm like, why is this about Tala? I don't think that this is Reva cares more about Obi-Wan. And I want to know if she holds a grudge against Obi-Wan for the failure of the Jedi to the Padawans,
right,
that she was a Padawan. And so I guess I was just expecting more of the rage to be focused on Obi-Wan and her wanting to immediately engage him, especially when she's got the full backup of everybody around her. It's not like they could have stopped her from trying to engage Obi-Wan. I thought that was where it was going to go. And it felt a little out of character for me that she cared more about Tala.
Okay, so my read on this is as follows. I don't think that she cares about it being Obi-Wan. I think it could be anybody. I think her ambition is to impress Vader and move up in the ranks. So her anger at Tala is that Tala is the person who prevented her from achieving her goal. I don't think it's about that she wants to confront Obi-Wan.
Right. See, I think you're right.
That her ire would be directed at Tala as opposed to Obi-Wan. I don't think she cares about Obi-Wan one way or another.
Right, I think she just wants to get him because Vader wants.
Well,
that's what Vader wants.
I agree with all of that. I just thought it was dual purpose. I do
agree in your assessment that she hates the Jedi because we learned from Obi-Wan that when he was a little boy, he got taken away from his family and he had a brother who he didn't know. Like, I think she has obviously, I think, had that a similar story.
Well, I think it's less about being taken away from the family, more about the failure of the Jedi and how.
My read is that she had like a life that was like she was poached away, and then they failed her as they did all the Jedi.
I guess we will find out. I would be surprised if they cared about her story beforehand and more about I was in this family of the Jedi and you failed us and let all my friends die. And then I turned to darkness because of you, and blaming Obi-Wan for that. And I thought it was dual purpose. I thought gaining favor and getting into Vader's good graces,
sure,
but then also going for her own grudge that she was grinding against Obi-Wan.
Sure. Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing. I think it's the whole package is what I'm saying.
Well, I think Brian, you're probably right that it's not the whole package. It's only about the favor. It's only about gaining favor. But
I see.
But Chris, I see what you're saying.
When I was saying the whole package, I was referring to her upbringing, why she is so resentful of the Jedi, like her whole life, and then they failed her, is what I was pointing at.
Yeah, I guess the way that falls apart, though, is that it's like, I mean, I guess people put
somebody at Celebration.
All over the place, but it's someone like, why wouldn't she be most mad at Vader?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Someone you're at right, Celebration. Right. Well, hate makes you blind and leads you to the dark side.
Yeah. I mean, I understand people misplace blame though. So it's
no. But once you're on the dark side, though, there's no rationale.
Right.
And also during Celebration, the guy that played the Grand Inquisitor, the first one, he said that they used to all be Jedi. He blurted that out on stage.
Well, that was
I think we kind of knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obi-Wan says that. He says that in episode 2. He's describing to Leia who the Inquisitors are, that they hunt their own, their former Jedi hunting their own.
So we do know there's some story there, and we don't know how people age in Star Wars. So
I love that that one line where Oshie Jackson's like, I'm trying to protect every kid from here to Alderaan who can lift a rock.
Yeah.
That was very, very funny. I just thought it'd be funny, I don't know, when they were asking Leia where the rebels were, I was like, I hope she says Dantooine. And like that we find out that's like her go-to.
That would be really good.
And then also that would give this like fun thing in episode 4 that she's like messing with them. they don't believe her, right?
Exactly.
But it's like, she's like, I'll never tell you. It's on Dantooine. You remember Dantooine.
Lying. Yeah, she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Though she wouldn't do that in episode 4 because, Alderaan's in the crosshairs. They're a peaceful people. They have no weapons.
I'm glad to see by Empire, or by A New Hope, though, the Empire has upgraded their interrogation to make it more of a mobile thing.
A mobile unit. Yeah,
exactly. You don't need you don't have to have the table and the chair anymore.
What'd you think
of it? It was like,
the...
you could just poke people's eyes. You don't need that whole chair.
Yeah, you don't need all that stuff. You just need that one droid.
What'd you think of the darkness and Obi-Wan appearing with the lightsaber and cutting down the stormtroopers?
I liked it.
I thought it was very cool.
I thought it looked really cool. It just made me wonder, is this for defense? You know, a Jedi only uses in defense.
Hey, listen, Obi-Wan's running.
The Jedi
he is
are
a,
gone.
He's a leaderless Jedi Mike. I think he is. I think that's also what is kind of puzzling about this show is that it's a world where there are no real Jedi. Like, I think we haven't really seen that as much. In this way.
I think they're building to the same conclusion of The Last Jedi, is that, you know, and I will not be the last Jedi. Will not be the line.
But I'm just saying, we're now seeing someone that's like was a Jedi. Like, we're seeing like someone that has the ability to be, but like figuring it out again without any kind of leader or anyone to go to.
And
like, there's nobody that's like older than Obi-Wan. Like, we don't see Qui-Gon yet. We don't see anyone. So there's no one that's like leading him. So he's kind of like, I don't know what to do.
And Obi-Wan was like a real, like, company man.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, it's like, when the Jedi were, you know, in power, like, Qui-Gon was the radical, right?
Yeah, right.
Who was like, listen, there's always two. But Obi-Wan was not like that. Obi-Wan was really like, he didn't believe that the Jedi could be at fault. Whenever Anakin spoke ill of the council, he would like put him in his place and stuff like that. It wasn't.
And wouldn't it be an interesting reflection for him to look back on the way he acted and the way that he treated it versus the way Anakin did and the way that Qui-Gon did, and see his own failures and consider where he could have improved and been different? That's part of why we're not getting anywhere with the character, because he doesn't become the main character at any point. The end of the story is him still being in service to the Skywalkers. So I would have loved to have seen, because like, Ryan, the stuff you're talking about is all stuff that happened in the Clone Wars that would be easy for them to address again and have him interrogate his own actions. What a series that would be. What a show. I just would have loved to see that. And maybe we'll still get more of it, because there's little things in this where him calling out to Qui-Gon, talking about the light and the darkness that he's been in, not accessing the Force for 10 years, talking about not being that person anymore. There's pieces in there, and there's still a chance to do that. And even if they don't do it fully, even if they just take some moments for him to really, again, focus inward and see what that was. I mean, like, when he was meditating at the beginning of episode 3, and he was hearing all of the voices that he's heard throughout his time, whether it's Anakin or it's Yoda or it's Reva, there's some things within that where it could be doing something similarly and exploring some of those failures. Or even think about if there's a point where he goes to the world between worlds and he witnesses himself not ever picking up on what Sheev is doing and not what Chancellor Palpatine is and where he failed to recognize. I think there's so many interesting stories of failure in Star Wars, which Rian Johnson, The Last Jedi, you know, really honed in on. To continue that theme would have been really exciting about this.
I mean, this is where what I was talking about earlier, where their hands are tied. Their hands don't have to be tied. They could do whatever they want. But at the same time, like, okay, so everybody unanimously, even the people I'm talking about who are like YouTubers who complain about literally everything, everybody seemed to love The Mandalorian. And then these YouTubers I'm talking about were crazy about when they loved it when Luke showed up at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, The Mandalorian has no characters that they could mess with. Most people are new, and then there's cameos from people, right? But it's like, Din is new, Grogu's new, like all of that. It's like new characters. They could do whatever they want with it. And then Luke
Boba
shows
Fett
up and
new.
They show it. An action figure of Luke Skywalker. It's just the version of Luke Skywalker everybody's seen. And like, then that's the only thing that they're happy with, right? When they try to, The Last Jedi, they try to explore and actually build on a character, a loud minority of people get furious about it, like truly furious. And it's like, with Kenobi, their hands are tied again, because they almost aren't, like, they can't, they're almost not, if they're playing by these rules, they're not allowed to do character development, because this character, like, exists on either side of it. So anything that may potentially change anything about him, they're running the risk of, you know, a YouTuber going online and screaming about it, and then everybody convincing everybody that, like, this was a failure in some way. So it's like, I don't, I agree with you, Mike. I want to see him like rediscover this stuff. I want to see them analyze this stuff. But it's like they can't do. They're not doing character development.
I do think though, we're going to see a very similar like Last Jedi scene where Obi-Wan's gonna give up. Like I think there's gonna be a scene where that, and I think we're gonna see Qui-Gon appear and give him that lesson that he hasn't had yet. Like we're still seeing Obi-Wan learn, and I think we're gonna see him like learn the lesson he needs to save Luke and Leia to bring him into A New Hope. Like I think that's how this season ends. Like the story ends. I think it's going to be that Last Jedi moment where, like, when Yoda comes back and, like, helps Luke. Like, I hope they don't abandon that idea, because that's, like, at the core when you talk about Jedi, that's, like, always, like, an old Jedi teaching. It's, like, passing on wisdom, but then also accepting the things you don't know as new. That would complete the Jedi story, like, normal Jedi tale, if that's what we're doing.
Right. A few years ago there was a whole thing about how like Marvel, like when I think when Sony was making Spider-Man movies, they had like a list of like rules about they're like if Spider-Man will be depicted in any media, like you know, he must be between this age and this age, he must like never curse, he can never, like, you know, it was things like that, right? And it's like it feels sometimes like with legacy characters, if they had a sheet like that, it was like Ken never doubt, Ken never show weakness, Ken never be in conflict, Ken never do anything that they haven't already done, like all of this stuff. And it's like you run into this issue where it's like, listen, I love seeing this stuff. I think Ewan McGregor's doing a great job. And like I think he's showing an inner conflict. But it's like I think there's such a gun shyness after showing Luke in The Last Jedi, which obviously we think was incredibly interesting and like the only way to like kind of move forward with the character. It's like they can't show Obi-Wan in true doubt, because then people get into like Jedi never give up or like whatever, like all this stuff. And it's like they're like, from a storytelling standpoint, it's like what can you do except plot then? Right. If you can't do anything where a character's in conflict with themselves.
I'll go back to that line where she's like, try. Like, I think that's kind of admitting a little bit of his own defeat and his kind of mood without... Hold on one second. The cat is decided to jump in here and play with a very loud toy.
Meow.
Meow.
Obi, right, meow, Kenobi.
Obi, meow, Kenobi. She just got in the room. But I think it goes back to that, where that is showing a little bit without like being too blatant. I think if you pick it up and you understand that, like, yeah, he's not, he doesn't want to use the Force so bad. He's like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I said I wasn't going to do this ever again. And she's like, well, I think you have to try now. Like, which it's new to me to see Obi-Wan in that way.
No, they're doing some new things with it, but they're doing it in enough of the ways that it doesn't break the formula of what Ryan's
exactly.
talking
like,
about.
Yes, exactly. Like, we all know that he's going to come back and save the day. Like, I think he has to.
But we could have taken him in different places before he did, and that's like that's where
Like if I had my druthers, it's like someone would have come up to him in the first episode and like he would have said like, "There's no such thing as the Force," and you know people would be like, "Oh." You know, and then you have to build from there. You know, like,
The Force is just a trick that you play.
Or he's like, that's just something for kooky old wizards.
Yeah, like, he's actively... And then, he's feeding into the myth of, like...
And it's Alden calls him out.
I would have done, like, he's feeding into the myth of, like, the fact that, like, the Jedi were just, like...
Yeah.
We're just tricksters and stuff like that. Then he sees how that's feeding into the culture of people believing in the Inquisitors, and he has to reckon with that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you know, people can't... Then it's like Obi-Wan is, like, an enemy? Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's tricky.
It's exhausting. I just... I don't know. I'm just... The reactions to these shows is just, like, really tiring. And I understand I just need to, like, remove myself. Yeah. But, you know, as a podcaster in the Star Wars world, I like to be aware of what's going on.
It would be fun, though, to do a season of one of these shows where none of us engage with any other media, but just talk to each other about what we liked about it or what we didn't like. Like, there's no... We don't react, see any, read any reviews. We don't do anything else. We just keep ourselves contained. How do we bubble ourselves like that? I don't know. But maybe maybe if we encase ourselves in amber after each episode and then come back, watch an episode, go back. You know, that would be a way to do it.
There was an article last week. I know this is the antithetical we were saying. And I understand also this stuff is like clickbait.
Yeah.
Like, but it said like Obi-Wan Episode 3 just usurped Last Jedi for worst piece of Star Wars content ever made. And it was like, are you joking?
It is like, insane.
Have you ever tried to control Shadows of the Empire?
Exactly. Controller? Yeah, have you ever played that? That whole discourse is just insane to me, and I don't believe worth. Like I said, why waste your energy on that?
But here I am.
I mean, those people, like, why waste their energy on like discussing it in that way, where it's
you
like,
you know, because you got to defend the peace and the justice of the way that actually these things should be consumed. No, okay.
Right, exactly. No,
everybody can watch things the way they want to, except if you're going to cry over Luke Skywalker beating up some droids.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's like, even I wish that was that simple. You know what I mean?
I know.
If people had that reaction and it was that simple, that's like cool, you know. But it's not that simple.
You're right. If it was pure emotion because of your reaction to it, but instead of it's the emotion of seeing it because what you liked of the last version or didn't like of the last version, you now feel better because it's what you wanted it to be.
Yeah, it's like, it's not that you're having a reaction to Luke Skywalker, it's that you're saying, like, finally they heard me and they understand what this is supposed to be.
That's kind of the confliction, too. Yeah, you're absolutely, because I remember when Luke came back in Mandalorian, I was like, oh man, I just thought it was awesome. But then, like, then you have that tag along discourse, and then you're like, oh, these people you're watching it for a different reason. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and not to say there's no us or them. It's just, it feels very like there's two different emotional poles here for people. And some of them are just, we want what we used to have, and now it's back, and anything new is making me upset for some reason. Or it's like, I like to see Luke sometimes. It's okay. Like, that's fine.
I will never stop laughing about how we were getting away from the Skywalkers and that the Vanity Fair article was that we're getting away from the Skywalkers.
Yeah, exactly.
How, in any way, shape, or form, are we away from the Skywalkers?
Well, what's your last name, Mike?
Leia Organa?
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, but she's not really a real Organa, Chris. And also, on Alderaan, we know they're not all peaceful people. Some of them are asshole cousins. So blow up that planet.
That's right. Get rid of that planet.
You think there should be like a scene where Leia's like, oh, I'm so sad about my planet, but at least cousin so-and-so's gone.
Well, if you look, they do a quick cut to the cousin older, and she kind of gives a little smirk and a wink right before they blow it up. She goes, oh, no. Oh, oops. Oh, no.
Well, you know, an episode that didn't have a lot to move forward of the series gave us a lot to talk about.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I think I didn't know that snow speeders could be used like that.
Yeah, that was cool, huh?
Yeah, that was fun.
That was neat. They came in.
You never paused in midair in Shadows of the Empire?
Exactly. I wish it would have made a lot of things easier.
Yeah.
Man, Wade really got it, huh?
Hey, old Wade. I felt for Wade. You know what? I feel for Wade. I'm a Wade head. I felt the same thing I felt when Han Solo died.
As soon as he started firing, I said, oh no, Wade.
Oh, Wade's gonna
Wade,
get
don't
it.
Do it.
I mean, so, I thought they could have at least had, I feel like they should have had Reva just like throw the lightsaber at it and cut it.
Yeah, and bring it back. And bring it
I thought she was gonna. I thought she was gonna deflect a shot or something. I guess that would take it down though, because the speeders do have shields. I love how they conveniently didn't show how the four of them packed into that speeder.
That's a fun little paradox where it's like, we clearly know in great detail how much room is in one of those speeders.
Yeah, and they like even like she pulls away and the back of it is like blacked out.
Yeah.
Like, man, and I'm like, they maybe go? They got in like the cargo.
Or they could have been, maybe they're an older model. Who knows?
I even feel like there might be a line in like Empire where they're like, you know, the speeders only hold two or something.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, there?
Yeah. They're, just you and your gunner, nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. They're very cramped.
My gunner will see you in hell.
Let's get more Cliff Clavin in that.
Very quick Vader scene. He comes in for a nice force choke and releases Reva. How do we feel about that?
He's given her a lot of slack, but I do like that she's like holding him by a thread that she keeps being like, but like, no, like this one will really work.
Right.
And he's like, my curiosity is getting the best of me on this
isn't
one.
Isn't it just, it's Snoke again with Donald Gleason, with Hux. It's like, how did you let them go? Oh, I have them attached to the string. Right. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and it's
yeah
like
you're
a,
right, you're
like
right. You're absolutely right. See, they're pulling from last
shit. It's only out of morbid curiosity
we...
that I'm allowing this to continue.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, I got nothing else, so I only got this guy with the weird hat, and I don't really care for him.
Yeah, I don't like his whole vibe.
Yeah, he kind of freaks me out a little bit. So
I am still fascinated, though. I want a full documentary about how James Earl Jones sounds so good and how what
he
they
sounds
did.
Great.
Oh, it sounds phenomenal.
It is incredible. And again, I think I talked about this last week. Please, we have changed enough in Star Wars. Can we go change Rogue One? Someone just redo it. Like, there's been enough times where they've redubbed it. They've added in nose. Like, just redo Rogue One so that we're hearing this James Earl Jones versus what we heard in Rogue
One. Mike, if we had anything about Star Wars, he loves a remaster.
Right. I mean, why not? Disney Plus. Yeah. Everybody watches on Disney Plus. We can't even buy it on Blu-ray anymore.
Hayden did the voice in Rogue One, though. Also, I feel, all right, we're four episodes in. I know Hayden was a big part of this press tour, but man, he's really in that. Gosh, they're really keeping him in there.
Well,
suit.
It's like
he's
really,
in the suit, isn't he?
They're keeping him in there. Yeah,
so he's in a back to tank. There was that shot of him on the the vision of him.
Yeah,
and then he's in the suit. So it's
like from
what
an
else
old
is
movie.
Supposed to be?
Yeah, like what's is there going to be a little
de-age him and show him some flashbacks?
Yeah, let's get him. Maybe there's a scene where they're like having fun or something. I don't know. I hope he has like a scene with the mask off or something that's he's not just like in
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't it
I hope
be
they
great?
Do one of those like you know those comic covers where like his helmet's off.
Yeah,
and he's holding like a lightsaber, and you're like, right on.
But I would prefer just a force connection. Let's do some force time, and there may be in the world between worlds in some way, and they're talking again. Like, that would be intriguing to me.
That, like, he has a vision of his of his old self.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be good. They're not going to touch anything. I just want them at some point to go full prequel, full Clone War, just go all in on some of this stuff. And I don't think we're going to get anything for the Duchess Satine, which to me, why did you tell anybody to watch three different seasons of Clone Wars to prepare for this series? They had like four episode strings all about the Duchess Satine in three different seasons of Clone Wars would like recommend, please watch these episodes before watching Obi-Wan. Was it just so that we could know and spend more time with the character without having any of it be relevant to the story? I just don't get it.
They wanted those views.
Yeah.
Get those Disney Plus
are good episodes.
So. Yeah, they're good.
They are good episodes.
I mean, I think they kind of established a little bit of the world that we're in. Too.
Well, but this goes back to, again, it's like, I just want to see him assess all the failures, losing the Duchess, losing Anakin, losing Padme, losing everybody. Yeah. I just think there's so much to explore.
I mean, the show starts out, he's just cutting fish by himself. So, I mean,
maybe he could have had a pocket watch with a picture of Duchess Satine in there.
Oh, there you go.
And then he could travel back in time through the world between worlds, get back to Duchess Satine and play a little something on the record player.
I hope they do that world. The Ahsoka shows turn out to be more like the Rebels show, so maybe that will get into all that, tie that all together.
That could happen.
Yeah, so. I mean,
they don't take risks.
You know, Filoni believes in doing things with these characters. I mean, he's like, I understand Ahsoka existed before, but he's not like playing that much with legacy characters.
Yeah,
which makes him like able to actually do things,
do something. Yeah.
Well, but he played so much with legacy characters in a medium where people were okay with them playing
legacy
characters.
It's like, it's so funny because it's like Clone Wars and Rebels did so much with legacy characters. Clone Wars more specifically because it was about the legacy characters.
Yeah.
And that did so that, much yeah. to like expand, and everybody loved it.
Yes, and that was also like that's kind of also during a time period when the majority of people were like over Star Wars, and the people that stuck on were like, "Hey, the show's really good."
Yeah, and they were like, "We're never gonna get any Star Wars movies ever again."
So
yeah,
like so this is cool, and now it's like, why are the it feels like the stakes are so high, but it's like why though?
Yeah.
Like, why so more than anything else? Is it just because, like, Ewan's there? Because, like, I think it's cool
that
he's there.
I think that
has
a little bit to do with it, I'm sure. He's an executive producer on the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's crushing. He's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job.
He really is, like, really great in the show. Not surprisingly.
It is cool to see an actor of his caliber. Not to say that not everyone's doing a great job, but there is definitely, I mean, there's a reason why Ewan McGregor is a successful actor, and you can see it.
What's your favorite Ewan role? And we're like bringing a lot to it because like the more an actor is like in like the cultural lifespan, it's like you're just bringing more to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's just like, you know, there is just something. There's an added production value being like, oh my God, this Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's like the real volume. It's like a real life volume character.
What's your favorite Ewan McGregor character besides Obi-Wan?
My favorite Ewan McGregor character?
Or performance or movie.
So he's in this movie called Beginners that I just think is
I love Beginners.
Is phenomenal unbelievable.
Movie. Yep.
Mike Mills made, and I'd say that's my favorite Ewan McGregor performance.
I think he dated Melanie Laurent after.
Oh, really? Team.
Yeah, they dated for a little while.
Well, I can't recommend that movie. No, I mean, that movie is incredible.
I love that movie. Christopher Plummer is incredible. An Oscar? He won an Oscar for it, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, not that Welcome to Beginners cast, but no, I mean, that's probably my favorite thing he's done.
I will say that and Ghost Rider for me.
I
love Ghost Rider. Nice. Should I be pumping up a Polanski film?
Probably not.
But I really like that. I like.
Yeah, don't watch it, but believe us.
I mean, I really like The Men Who Stare at Goats. No, I'm just
whoa.
Kidding. Deep cut. I mean, I've been a fan since Trainspotting. Honestly, where I really start, and Sam will back me up with this, is A Long Way Around, A Long Way Down.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's
like
not
him,
so much
his performance.
Though.
It's not a performance. But no, but he is. But he is also like performing in a way to the kid.
You're right.
It's not, you know what I mean? Like, he is still TV ready. Like,
when they decide to take the BMWs instead.
Yeah, well. Exactly. The Road of Bones. So I highly recommend those. I've never seen Christopher Robin.
I would say, don't undersell Christopher Robin.
Okay. Christopher Robin is really great.
It's great.
And there is stuff in it that is so, like, heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Just in its simplicity, it's like,
yeah,
I've talked about it on this pod, actually.
It's got Paddington vibes.
Yeah,
it's got. Okay, I'm gonna describe it. I've done this on the pod before, but the movie Christopher Robin is about Christopher Robin has grown up and forgotten about the 100 Acre Wood gang, right? And then they
like
kind
Captain
of like
Hook.
They come into his world, and there's a scene where he's talking to Winnie the Pooh, and he says, Winnie the Pooh says, like, don't you play anymore or something like that. And he says, like, no, I haven't thought about any of this in years.
Oh.
And Winnie the Pooh says to him, that's funny. I think about you every day.
No.
And it's like in the little Winnie the Pooh voice, and he's just a little Winnie the Pooh. And it's just like, so you're like, thank God kids don't understand how sad that is.
So kind of what you're saying is, That should be the Obi-Wan show.
Really,
It should be that brutal of a realization.
Speaking of brutality, remember Star Wars is for kids.
Yes.
How many people just are going to get sliced to bits?
Oh, my gosh. Just
hopefully not Winnie the Pooh, even though he's a Disney property.
Right, remember, exactly.
Hello there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm curious what... It feels this has happened, I think, with every single Star Wars show at this point, where it's like, I'm like, well, they got a lot to do still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's only 2 episodes, and the episodes are like 30 minutes.
Yeah,
so it's
not long.
They really gotta.
Do you think they'll give us a longer episode? Or will they, they just
yeah,
cut?
I think they, you know what, the penultimate one might be like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
You
know? And then they'll give us a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would
where
love
Ewan
to see.
Ewan McGregor turns into Alec Guinness.
Exactly.
I would love to see Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi sitting around a fire having some hot cocoa. That's a that's an ornament that I would buy.
Well,
I would love it if they like me, like if he like sends him a message and he's like a Harvey Dent thing where he's like, meet me where my family died, and then they like meet on Mustafar and then they just do the scene again.
Yeah, they could do it.
Well,
again.
The next two episodes
he gets another chance on the high ground.
Going to be written by Andrew Stanton joining the writing.
Is that
here,
true?
So, yeah. So
wait, oh, that's cool.
So wait, maybe really? It'll be a little bit of Obi-Wan wandering alone.
He is?
As a pro, yeah.
Story or maybe by. It'll be that Obi-Wan was fighting for the Confederacy and then went to Mars?
That's right. So I'm excited to see what happens there.
Why maybe did they keep him in the Confederacy? They could have switched him to being a Union soldier.
Who? In
John Carter.
John Carter,
of Mars.
Yeah,
John
yeah, exactly. Carter, yeah. They could have updated the story.
Yeah, like, it's like, I guess, like, the real, like, Burroughs heads out there would have been like, you can't change the text, but I think it would have been a good move to make him fight for the North.
That, what's funny also is that was Disney's big bet, and they're like, well, let's just buy Star Wars.
It was their big bet. They lost $250 million. They changed the name to just John Carter instead of John Carter of Mars because they thought it would be more accessible.
That would help. Don't forget, Lightyear is on its way. And for those who don't know, Lightyear is supposed to be the movie that was like Star Wars for Andy from Toy Story. So that movie is supposed to be Star Wars-esque.
Well, maybe part 5 and part 6 will be that.
I'll be honest. I think Lightyear looks pretty good.
It looks great. I'm not joking. I'm not throwing any shade. I love it. I can't wait. Chris Evans taking over, Tim Allen out of the picture.
Wait.
I'm fine.
I can't wait for the movie. I can't wait for the movie that is the actor that plays Buzz Lightyear, a Pixar movie, reflecting on his life.
Right. Yeah. I can't wait for the movie.
And then he meets
Andy,
and he's like, you know, that toy's me.
I can't wait for the movie that inspired the ads for Al's Toy Barn in Toy Story 2.
The chickens.
Man.
I just want a Pixar movie that is intended to be a real just mind fuck. If we can get a Pixar movie that is just about internal mind stakes, that's all that matters to me.
We'll get
it's
there.
Like the
Hellraiser.
It's
of
like
Pixar
the adaptation
movies.
Of.
Yeah, exactly. It starts to deconstruct.
Like
Pixar
at the
movies.
End of it, it's like they zoom out and it's like Pete Docter and Andrew Stanton
right.
talking about how this could be a toy in a movie. They like conveniently leave John Lasseter out of it. Yeah, so it's me, Pete Docter.
I think he still gets some producing credits on recent movies, and I'm surprised by that. Maybe
well,
it's just because it's still part of his characters.
Contracts are a strong thing, my man.
Yeah, they are. That is going to do it for this week's edition of The Droids. We will be back next week. Be sure to email us, droidspot@gmail.com. Follow us, talk to us on social media. We want to hear about your thoughts on the episode and where you've been enjoying Obi-Wan. And we will say one last, into that good night, Wade. We salute you, King of Kings.
This one's for you, Wade.
What a
I'll tell you what, I would trade 10 Snap Wexleys for one Wade.
I forgot all about Snap Wexley existing.
We watched you know, we watched Rise of Skywalker the other night, and
Annie?
When Snap
Done.
I'll keep this in. When Snap Wexley died, I always remind Nicole of how funny it was that in the theater, Chris tried to start a round of applause.
I gave a little cheer.
In a theater that was like so not invested in the movie. Like it was opening night. There was cheers. Everybody was just like, oh no.
It was like open air. Yeah, it was just like dead heat.
The only applause was from like three people when Rey and Kylo kissed because I think they were Reylos. And then Chris clapping when Snap Wexley died. It was so funny.
Oh, man.